Mystery with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, it's a radio show. Are you there?
I think so.
Am I here?
Yes, we're here.
You didn't get blown into Kansas yesterday?
Oh, dang. Isn't that interesting?
Jeez. It really was bizarre. And the thing about Kansas is, I mean, actually, we got New Mexico come here.
Well, then, and then we blow it back. So it's, you know, it's fair.
No, it went to Kansas.
Oh, it went to Kansas?
That's the point, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so anyway, we got, we already have callers calling in here. Look at that. We got somebody calling in. But it's a radio show about history. You found us, and this is where you need to be this morning.
That's right.
We do El Paso history, and I don't think anybody else in town actually does this. There used to be another show on a pre-tape basis on another station. Nobody does that anymore, and I think we're doing it because we like it.
I think our audience likes it, too.
Why the heck are you here? I mean, that's what I do.
I don't know. I should be home doing laundry or cleaning or something. I don't know.
But see, in the old days, I used to listen to Leon when he was here with by himself, mm-hmm. and I'm thinking, God, I could go in there and deal with that. And then they call me.
I'd be doing yard work or something listening to him. So,
but I found myself screaming at the radio half the time. So then now that I come in here, I get to scream at myself.
Scream at yourself. Life, people are screaming at us out there.
Life goes on. But we do have the radio show in El Paso on 690 AM, KTSM.
That's right.
And it's the place where we say Texas history begins in El Paso. You know why?
Yeah, because it's on KTSMradio.com where you can listen to us anywhere in the world and scream at us. And you can also do that by getting an app for your phone, your laptop, your computer by going and getting the iHeartRadio link and take us anywhere you go in the world.
Well, you know why we do say Texas history begins in El Paso?
Why?
Because it does.
Oh, it does. Oh,
that's
okay.
Why. But also trivia. Got trivia going today?
Yes, we do. We have some trivia in the second hour and you can win a Pepe's food coupons. We will have two of those in the second hour. And the first caller and the second caller, because we have two questions, can win those $20 food coupons.
I happened to look at the coupons. One of them's for $25.
Uh-oh.
No, that's a good
Pepe
thing.
Pepe slipped this time.
They
so we
did.
Got 25, and 25. So what are we going to do? We're going to do 25 for the first one and 20
well, you
for
think we
one?
Could give them a choice in which one they're going to take?
No.
The first caller?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know which one they're going to.
Duh.
Anyway, so.
Yeah, I'm going to be nice.
But you got. I'm doing lunch at Pepe's. I don't know about anybody else.
I think we're going to make it up there today.
That's good food out there. And also, the history moment, you got one?
Yes. Yesterday was International Women's Day, and so we're going to be talking about one of the first female international rodeo riders
horse
who
people.
Came from she was international. Now you got me thrown out. Rodeo rider. She came from El Paso, Rose Smith.
International rodeo star is what I got.
Yes, and I wish I could learn more about this woman.
Well, maybe we'll just have to have a history show about it.
Yes.
But we got that going on today and also a lot happening in the real world of history. But today we're going to focus on something a bit unusual. It's a specific neighborhood in El Paso.
Yeah.
And
there are a lot of them.
Well, there are. I grew up in El Paso from 0 to 18 and left town. I don't remember this neighborhood in part of my world, but that's not such a big deal because I wasn't really all over El Paso as a kid. But so what? We've got some interesting subjects here, and the man to deal with this, the guy who knows this stuff, is Gabe Duran. Good morning.
Yes, I'm here. Good morning.
Well, thank you for
being
here.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, sure. You've been on here a couple of times doing stuff for the International Boundary and Water Commission.
Yes, I was employed there for many years, and now I'm a contractor with them, so I'm enjoying that. And I would like to talk a little bit about what happened in San Juan, little community hemmed in by I-10, Chelsea Street on the west, Trowbridge on the east, and the Franklin Canal and the railroad tracks to the south.
I knew there was a definite boundary to this place because the way you were talking about it, stuff went on in there. And so how in there, well, there's your boundaries.
Yeah, those are the boundaries. And okay. People that lived in San Juan were called San Juaneros.
San Juaneros.
San Juaneros. And the ladies were called San Juaneras.
Okay.
And our main rivals were the people from Second Ward, Segundo Barrio.
Oh, what'd they do?
Oh, they would come over here and cause all kinds of heck.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they wanted to date the pretty girls that lived in San Juan. And, of course, the San Juaneros wanted to go to Second Ward and date the pretty girls there. The people in Second Ward went to Bowie High School, and the people in San Juan went to Jefferson. So there was always that
There's a rivalry.
Of rivalry
there. You got your foxes and your bears. Look out.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting part of the world. And where is that on the freeway? That's like about
Paisano exit.
Paisano?
Trowbridge exit.
Yeah, right in there. And not too far from the spaghetti bowl.
No, not too far from the spaghetti
bowl. Was San Juan part of the area that they had to tear out those houses to put in drainage?
Let me tell you about that.
Yeah, that's part of your neighborhood.
Okay, San Juan goes back a long ways, and I think on the internet you can see the center of San Juan, which is the old church, San Juan Bautista.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist Church. And As El Paso grew, the little churches would follow the growth of El Paso out towards the east. And well, we're talking about 1920s, 1915, around there, this little community started real poor. All the little houses there were made out of adobe. I thought when I was growing up that you weren't a Mexican unless you lived in an adobe house.
Oh, you can't do that. Yeah.
That's true.
Part of your life.
Yeah, my dad and I, we would always be plastering adobe. I'd be mixing it for my dad, and he'd be plastering up and down, you know.
You ever just go start making bricks all by yourself out of
yes,
nothing?
No, I never did, but my dad did. In fact, I think on the webpage you can see my dad's house and some apartments he built, and the place where my grandfather had an old cantina called the Papagayo Cantina.
Okay, now this is what's online on Facebook. We put those up yesterday. You sent them to me. And your Papagayo was, what was that?
It was an old cantina started by my grandfather, born in Smeltertown, Texas, 1894, died in 1991. He is quite a character.
It sounds already he had a longevity there.
Oh, he was quite a character. I have tons of stories about my grandfather, but he started off with a little cantina off of Glenwood Street on Daly Street, just a block away from the church.
But it was in a house. It wasn't in that.
No, it was a little business.
Okay.
Let's say that. But it was very risque. And then you're talking about the 30s. Oh, yeah, my grandfather. No. He was not the kind of person that would turn away a buck from any which way he could get it.
I see.
Like when I was a little boy going into my grandfather's bar, there was a big potato chip rack. And then behind the potato chip rack was a naked lady. And every time somebody would buy a potato chip, you know, something else would show up.
Reveal.
Yeah. So this is a little bit about how my grandfather made his living.
Your grandfather, pretty shrewd dude. He was selling potato chips a lot, wasn't he?
Well, that's exactly how it was done.
The good old days.
And this is the 1930s. And you might remember Prohibition was in place.
I heard about that.
Right?
Yeah.
And the Depression was on. And my grandmother would make beer inside her home in the bathtub. And I remember my dad telling me one summer, my grandmother had made a bunch of beer and she put it in bottles. But that summer, it got to about 120 degrees here in El Paso.
Oh, my gosh.
And all of them started to explode. So they're running in there trying to save as much beer as they can. And it's funny because Prohibition was in place, but the mayor of El Paso, I'm sorry, the sheriff of El Paso, Crispy Fox.
Oh, Crispy.
Mm-hmm. He was a regular.
I remember him.
He was a regular at my grandfather's bar.
Okay.
You know, during Prohibition.
That'll tell you something about Chris Fox. He knew how to do things.
Yeah.
He knew where the action was.
He sure did. So then that little business was kind of swallowed up by the neighborhood, and my grandfather moved to the little Papagayo bar on Beacon and Glenwood. He had a bar there, a cantina. And I don't drink alcohol myself, but I probably spent more time in bars than most people.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
You learn from watching the other people.
Drink. My brother and I, we became good pool shooters because there was a pool table there. Shuffleboard, we would play shuffleboard. And, of course, we would have to clean up the bar after Friday night, you know, get together.
How does the word Papagayo translate? What does that mean?
It means it's the macaw bird in
it's a bird.
Guess, okay. Yeah, it's a macaw. You know that big parrot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So then my grandfather never trusted banks because of the Depression and all this stuff. So he used to save his money in coins in a tina, which is like a galvanized tub.
Yeah.
And he would bury the tina in the backyard so nobody could get it.
Uh-huh.
So after a while, he saved up enough money and he built the Papagayo Motel on Alameda. Now, if you look on the internet, you should see a picture of the old Papagayo.
Oh, yeah. It's on Facebook. I can't get on the internet in this location at the moment, but I did put that up yesterday. Can you see that, Melissa?
Yeah, that was on there. I'm on there right now. I'm looking at comments.
Well, what you're looking at is Facebook.com, and you go to the El Paso History Radio Show page, and we put up five or six different pictures that Gabe had of the neighborhood, and one of Grandpa.
Yeah, one of Grandpa and my grandma outside the little cantina.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people made remarks that they'd swam in that pool there. And that
know, because even one of the workers at the IBWC, Mr. Dave Marufo, would swim there. I didn't know him at the time, but he said, we loved going there, Gabe, because it had palm trees and it had shade. And you would pay $1 to swim all day.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they let you swim in there. So publicly they let people swim there, too.
But you had to pay, of course.
Oh, no, but I meant still a lot of hotels didn't let people do that. That's pretty cool, though.
And then you could go buy some chips in the bar, huh?
Oh, yeah.
The
motel was about three or four blocks away from the old cantina.
Okay.
Then my dad and an uncle of mine, they built it all with their own hands. back in the 40s and 50s. And
Adobe.
In the heyday, because Alameda was the main drag through El Paso.
That's
so
right.
So if you had a business on Alameda, you were going to do well. And we did do well. Well, the business did well for many years until about 1969, the freeway came
through. That's what I was going to say. I-10 changed everything for those people. Because there was no I-10 before Alameda, and that's how you got to Dallas, I think.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You jumped in the car and went
Main
that
highway.
Way. Went
yes,
that
exactly.
way, right?
And
yeah.
in fact, the old Papagayo Motel had a restaurant in it, and one of the guests one year was LBJ. He was driving back to Austin, and he stopped there, and my mom served him breakfast.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so a lot of history there, fun. But let's get back to the old cantina. Where
the cantina's got to be the focus here, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we have a picture. These apparently is of your grandmother and your grandfather
yeah,
here.
Yeah, they're standing right outside
right
the
below
old
the
cantina.
Beer sign.
And it says families there, but it wasn't really for families when my grandfather was there. Okay. Uh-huh. My grandfather.
What do you mean?
Oh, he was something else. He had another little Papagayo on Donovan. You might recall up here in the Upper Valley, there was a Papagayo little motel there, too.
They sound familiar for some reason. I didn't remember the one in Alameda, but I remember the name from somewhere.
Okay.
Maybe
so
that's it.
He had that one.
Okay.
So then one day, my grandfather's getting up there in age, and we're building. We were always building something, a motel or apartments, and that's the way that we made our living back then. So he was getting up there in age, and he says, mijo. And, of course, mijo means my son.
That's you.
Yeah. He says, mijo. I'm going to close the bar. He used this rough voice. Mijo, I'm going to close the bar.
Uh-huh.
You are a grandfather? He says, yeah, I'm getting too old to operate the bar, but I want to do something in there. What can I do? What can I do, mijo? I said, you know, grandfather, I'll tell you after we finish our work today. So now we went on nailing boards and doing what we're doing. At the end of the day, my grandfather comes back to me and he says, mijo, what are we going to do with the old bar? You know, grandfather, a good idea out here is let's put in a laundromat. A laundromat would be great because you can put the quarters in the machines and in the afternoon you just collect all the quarters. And he said, mijito, that's the cat's pajamas. I said, oh, great. He likes the idea. A few weeks go by. I'm back at the old Papagayo on Donovan. And I said, hey, grandfather, what happened to the idea about the laundromat? No, mijito, I'm not going to do that. You're not, grandfather. What are you going to do? I'm going to put a porno shop there.
Oh,
what?
Dear.
You're going to put a porno shop? Yeah, they make good money. So that's the way my grandfather, that was his way, his thinking.
Did that happen?
No, it didn't happen. He was getting too old up there in age. But,
but he thought
that was his mentality.
He had the idea anyway, didn't he?
No, he did. Yeah. And this is totally a huge contrast in my family because that was my dad's side. And my mom's side of the family, they were all poor campesinos who helped build San Jose Church in the Lower Valley.
Oh, okay. So,
you had that constant back and forth.
Well, I can just see one
angel
little
angel on the devil side.
Exactly. One little devil on one shoulder, one little angel on the other shoulder, and there goes your grandpa into the future. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Interesting. And this is the San Juan neighborhood.
This is all happening in San Juan.
Oh,
and
my. Well,
my parents, they had 9 kids. One passed away early. But all of us grew up there, and we grew up on the top part of a second-story apartment building that my dad had built. And on the bottom part, my uncle, Uncle Ruli, he had a little restaurant where he would sell tacos and raspadas and things like that. And the reason that he was there is because there's a huge Fada factory that was built on the whole block except for that one little corner that my grandfather didn't want to sell. So my brother Leo would say, yeah, my dad and Willie Fada owned the whole block.
Well, he probably made money off of Farah's people.
That's exactly
oh,
right.
Oh, yeah.
Because my uncle had this little restaurant he would sell. And it's funny because people would say, oh, yeah, Gabe, I know where you live. I went and bought a raspada there. Or I got a burrito there. Or on my way to the San Juan Clinic, we would stop in and get something to drink there.
So that was a crossroads where you lived.
No, well, if you look at where San Juan is, Glenwood and the church is downtown San Juan.
Okay, downtown San Juan, El Paso. In the middle of El Paso, as a matter.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm going to take a break here. Gabe Duran is the guy here in the house here. Melissa, this is already interesting because, see, I used to drive around this all the time and didn't have any clue.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I was the kid in the car. I wasn't driving myself. But it's interesting to see what's gone on in this town and other people's perspectives. So.
That's those little communities that fit in with any large city. I mean, I had them in Los Angeles where I grew up was Lomita, and it was a small community.
Same kind of thing?
Yeah, it was a city within Los Angeles city boundaries. Same thing. You had your own little communities.
I'll bet you there's more than one because, I mean, there's all kinds of neighborhoods in El Paso. I mean, you got Sunset Heights. Most people know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard of Tobin Park.
Well,
that was a big development 100 years ago. But this is one that escaped me. Just interesting to hear the details.
There's quite a few of them in the
valley.
And
we've got one of the star families, people sitting here, so we're good here. We'll talk more about this, and we'll take a break here and come back. We're moving, we've decided to move trivia to the second hour only, giving away two Peppies, so we're not doing that right now. But we do have a look at Facebook. What do you got going on there now? Anything?
Well, I was just looking at the pictures that we've got up here, and we've had a lot of people that are starting to get on here and talk about it. I was trying to get back to the page where we had people that were commenting. But like I said, there were some different folks. Aaron Gomez, he was says swam in that pool, the motel in the early 70s. You know, Carol Myers, great pictures, love Fox Plaza. You know, these are years ago. She's just a lot of memories.
Yes. We'll come back and talk more about it, like as to what's there now. Don't answer it now. We'll come back and find that out here. Taking a break, you call us if you want, if you'd like.
Go to 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM and give us a call.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Yeah. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Our 2019 iHeartRadio Music Awards. Alicia Keys, Ariana Grande, Garth Brooks, Halsey, John Legend, Casey Musgraves, Taylor Swift, and more.
Nobody will hand you your dreams. Well, now that Taco Bell delivers through Grubhub, you can get your dreams handed right to you. Tacos, crunch wraps, chalupas, delivered straight to your door. Taco Bell Delivery. It's your taco dreams, delivered by Grubhub.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
So many things going on. Gabe Duran's here. I'll tell you some things on our website right now, ephistory.com. We've got the missing Pattersons are there. We're still putting up stories about them, and that's a bizarre thing that happened in the 1950s. The Pattersons went missing. Who knows where they went? But the clues are everywhere, but the people were nowhere. So what's that all about? Anyway, and that's what happened here. All segments of our recent ABC 7 series from El Paso History TV are now online. Go to YouTube and become a member. Join our thing and see what you can see there, because we've got almost 130 different video either clips or full documentaries,
yep,
or lectures, or whatever.
Everything.
And that's go to YouTube.com, El Paso History TV. And also, the last one we did was Concordia. And I'm watching the numbers climb on there. People are actually going on there looking at that stuff. And one more thing to tell you, Amigos is open again down in Montana. Go in there and tell Hookie you heard about us on the radio so he'll become an advertiser.
That's right.
Don't you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
Hey, Hookie, you need to put us on as an advertiser. But that's on Montana, one block east of Cotton. Amigos did have a major fire, got over that, and now they're back alive. One more thing to tell you on this piece of paper. Save the date, the 13th Annual Poppies Festival, March 23rd. Some people tell me the poppies have already peaked. I went out there and looked at them. It's pretty good. But peaked or not, hey, I don't know. What do you got?
Well, you got the Women's Club coming up, one of their big fundraisers that helped them take care of the historic clubhouse there. And it's a great way to meet some of the great ladies of the Women's Club. Maybe you might want to join. It's Saturday, March 23rd, and it's going to be at the clubhouse there at 1400 North Mesa. And this fundraiser will feature as a unique event this year. It's going to have the Eastwood Knowles International School of Students, who will give a performance to celebrate the Chinese New Year. And the doors open at 11 a.m., and lunch will be catered by Panda Express. They're going to have a silent auction, a Chinese auction, and the tickets are only $40 for the lunch and include two chances at their Chinese auction. But these tickets must be purchased no later than March 13th, so that's coming up real quick. So give them a call at 532-6131 to reserve your tickets. But definitely get over there. This is a big helper for their fundraiser. It's a great way. If you're interested in how to get involved with the Women's Club, give them a holler.
It's a very historic place. We did the video on that.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing that those women did. They showed up on sort of like the frontier, the pioneers, mm-hmm, as they were. But a lot of them came in from sophisticated societies. They weren't just, small little people in the world. Ladies showed up and brought German kindergarten. to El Paso. Yeah. And nobody had heard of that here before.
And they're not, and a lot of people think, oh, they're just teetoting women. No, there's women from all walks
These
of society.
Tough,
I
love
belonging to it. They're a great group of ladies to hang out with and do a lot of great things for the community.
Tough people over there. Hey, yes. We stirred up people on the phone, 544-5876. This is Leo. Good morning.
Hey, I've got to talk about my brother.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. You mean this is the Leo Duran?
Yeah, David's my brother, and I'm actually named after my grandfather.
Oh, so you're the Rabble Rouser restaurant guy, right?
Do you take after him?
He's Leo the Third.
I'm Leo the Third, yeah. And so San Juan was originally a refuge for all the people that were escaping from the Mexican Revolution.
It wasn't.
Go ahead. So the Mexican Revolution really made El Paso.
Well, it did. It populated Sunset Heights. The people who had more money went up there from Mexico.
Yeah, and all those beautiful homes that you see in El Paso from the early 20s, they were all built with money made from the Mexican Revolution.
Now, how do you make money on the Mexican Revolution?
You sell to both sides.
There you go.
Now you take after your grandfather. I can get the drift here. Yeah. Now, do you happen to be the guy in charge of a restaurant right now?
No. I live in Reston, Virginia.
Okay, so you're not that Leo Duran.
No.
Yeah. No.
Because we got one here runs a restaurant. Okay.
I know that one that lives in the
L&J Cafe.
Yeah, is he part of?
No, okay. He's not. It's a coincidence. They have the same name and same last name, but they're not related.
So you got a brother named Leo. Is he Leo? In West Virginia, you said?
In Reston.
Reston, okay. That's Northern Virginia.
Outside of Washington.
Yeah, no, I know where the Reston is, sure. And so are you listening to us on the internet? I take it that's what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm listening through the internet. That's
how
great.
I enjoy listening to your program on the internet.
Well, thank you for that. And why don't you tell us a story about Gabe while he's sitting here? Oh, no. Is that a bad idea, Gabe? No.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you about what happened to San Juan. It's that these people that were refugees from the Mexican Revolution wound up, the only place that they could live is in this neighborhood where there were some, they used to be farmers. These people would farm, farm workers that would farm the valley, right? So across the Rio Grande, across the canal, there used to be farms. And these people that were living here were all just, they were just a little neighborhood. They were just a little
they're campesinos who worked on the farms.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And so then the Mexican revolutionaries, when they were looking for a place to live, they wound up going into that neighborhood. And they transformed the neighborhood into this wild place. And so my grandfather, his father was a Seventh-day Adventist preacher.
Oh boy.
And my grandfather rejected that.
I think he might.
He's anti-religious. My grandfather was anti-religious.
Uh-huh.
And my grandfather and his brother owned a Indian motorcycle distribution in El Paso. And my grandfather was a mechanic, and my uncle was the owner. And when that went broke, my grandfather took his money and opened up the bar in this rough and tumble neighborhood out in San Juan, because that's how he figured he could make the most money.
So were you part of the bar scene as well as Gabe?
Yeah, my brother and I, we grew up behind the bar. And I mean literally behind the bar. And we were working the bar as young little boys.
I bet you liked potato chips, didn't you?
Yeah. My father there's two people in the barrio San Juan. It was like a contradiction. My grandfather, who was anti-religious and anti-government and anti-everything, right? Except the only thing he was for was himself and his making money. And there was they opened up the new church, right? And there was a father named Father Ochoa.
Yeah, Father Ochoa. There's a picture of Father Ochoa on the internet.
There's a Father Ochoa.
Oh, okay.
And so Father Ochoa and my grandfather were doing battle for the heart and souls of the people of San Juan. And you know, my grandfather on the bad side, and my Father Ochoa on the
good side,
on the good side. And Father Ochoa wanted to make inroads into my grandfather, so he would try to talk to my grandfather, and my grandfather would just blow him off, right? And so Father Ochoa was still trying to make inroads into that family, and he did it by talking to my father.
Well, there was a lady, brother, that would secretly take my dad to the church so that he could take his catechism lessons underneath my grandfather's nose.
Oh, so yeah, he didn't hear about it. Oh.
No.
Yeah.
You guys are sneaky. Go ahead.
So my grandfather was, you know, my grandfather and my grandmother, they were wild people. My grandmother was a biker babe before the term was ever invented, you know.
How come you guys are not all in jail? I mean, these people sound pretty wild and crazy back there.
Oh, yeah, it was. That's the story. So
very
it was
interesting,
a story,
Leo.
It was a struggle between Father Ochoa and my grandfather for the heart and soul of
San Juan.
Of San Juan.
All right, Leo, in your opinion, who won?
There's no opinion. I mean, there's 100%. My Father Ochoa won.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you a little bit about Father Ochoa.
Yeah, please.
Father Ochoa came from Mexico, of course, but he was a priest down in Mexico and during the Cristero movement, which is when they persecuted the church, they cut off a good part of his tongue.
Oh, dear.
So he came to live in El Paso, and he was becoming rehabilitated in speaking. So they couldn't keep him down. He learned how to talk with half a tongue.
That's bizarre.
Although it was very difficult for him to communicate, and maybe 100% of what he told me went in one ear and out the other because I couldn't understand him. But eventually, he learned how to speak. And he was able to take care of his flock that
way. Oh, this is interesting. Leo, we're going to let you go here. If you got another thought, call us back, all right?
Okay.
I appreciate talking to you. Thanks a lot. You take her easy.
All right.
Thanks a lot. And we have other callers on the phone here, but I have a feeling that we're supposed to take a break. Nah, Sergio's not even in there.
So, so we're not taking a break.
No, should we take a break, Sergio? He showed back up. There he is. So
he's under the counter.
We got Mike on hold here. We'll put you on hold. I just got onto Facebook. We'll see what that's looking like. But you have what have you seen on Facebook already?
I was looking for more pictures on San Juan to see if there were some others we might find, but it's difficult to find because it's not really defined. It looks at all of El Paso.
Well, Gabe had them all, and we've got them on there. There's the church, there's the bar, there's the family, and there's more history there coming in a minute here. So call us up if you like. We got stories.
That's right. Call us at 915-544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
El Paso's original and largest craft beer festival is back. Sun City Craft Beer Fest, powered by iHeartMedia, returns to the Convention Center Plaza on Saturday, March 30th and Sunday, March 31st. Check out over 170 craft beers from the best local and national breweries, plus live music, food trucks, a giant game zone, sports bar, and more. Tickets include 10 samples of the beer or cider of your choice and a festival beer class. Get hosted beers and a free meal in the VIP lounge. Tickets and info at suncitycraftbeerfest.com.
Get the hottest flooring styles at incredible prices at Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale. All waterproof floors are on sale up to 50% off. Get a dollar off per square foot on select Bellawood hardwood floors and take 20% off new AquaSeal water-resistant laminate. Plus, ask how you can get professional installation and special financing. Get to Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale today. Visit lumberliquidators.com for a store near you.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Got a lot of people coming and calling us on the phone here. We better talk to them shortly, but a couple of things just to tell you about. We got some history lessons here. Happening here from the Harvey Girls of El Paso, Texas, meeting Monday, March the 11th at the passenger station at Union Depot. 700 West San Francisco, 2 p.m. Program is a history of railroad police protection of passengers and freight. Woody Bear, he was in here last week talking about this kind of stuff. The visitors are welcome. 591-2326. You go do the next one there.
Oh, okay.
And let me have the third one because I didn't quite finish it.
Yes, I kind of noticed it. No, and there was a change on that one.
Yes,
too.
That's the one I want to tell
you. Yes, yes. The El Paso Corral, the Westerners International, is going to have their meeting Friday, March 15th, and it's going to be at the Holiday Inn there at I-10 and Sunland Park Drive. And their program is Women of the Raid on Columbus. By Pancho Villa, and it's going to be presented by Patricia Kidney, and I understand a special guest is going to be coming back from the grave. I think General Pershing might be there.
Ah, we know who that is.
Yes, and they'd love you to be there with them, and the program of dinner is only $20, and visitors, of course, are welcome, but you must RSVP by Monday, March 11th, which is this Monday. Call 759-9638, and then Club Friendship will meet Tuesday, March 26th at St. Paul's Methodist Church over on Edgemere at 11 a.m., and their program is Teresita Orria Curandera. She is faith healer and Mexican revolutionist, presented by Esther Sanchez, who does a great program. And that's only $10, excuse me. And it is going. You must RSVP by March 22nd at 591-2326.
That celebrate history of that Jim Tolbert's doing. The celebration of the mountains has also now got celebration of our history. They're going to tour the McGoffin Home State Historic Site on Sunday, March the 17th at 1 o'clock. And you be there or be square. That's a biggie. Look at that on Facebook.
Wear green because that's St. Patrick's Day.
You might as well.
MacGuffins, you know, they were Scottish. But
somebody still pinch you at some time?
Yeah.
Here's your grand folks here up on
I see them on the screen.
Internet there. Uh-huh. And that's the main thing you can see. You see a couple of people, but the biggest thing you see there is a beer sign.
And it says a place for families.
Well, family, the adult family drinking members.
Yeah. We have a bunch of callers here. Caller, stick on the phone here. We've got Mike, Jorge, and Eugene. You had a story you said you had to tell.
Yes. Okay. As a little boy growing up in that neighborhood, there was a time when there was a lot of Anglo people and Hispanic people going to the same school. I went to Cooley School because my parents didn't want to send me to Hawkins School, which was a neighborhood school, because it was those San Juanitos were pretty rough.
Yeah.
So they kept me out of that school and put me to Cooley School. And in Cooley School, there was a mixture of white kids and Hispanic kids and just a mixture. So in the mornings, my mom would wake up early and she'd make us a wonderful burrito. And she'd put the burrito in a brown paper sack. And the brown paper sack would get all oily. We'd take it to school.
For the burrito.
We'd take it to school. And after a while, the Anglo kids would say, I'll trade you my sandwich for your burrito.
Burrito.
Yeah. And that was wonderful because we, as Hispanic kids, we didn't get the sandwiches.
You wanted
we got
that Wonder
burritos.
Bread.
We wanted the Wonder Bread and the bologna
yeah.
and the potato chips.
Yeah.
And we wanted to look inside the Gomer Pyle lunchbox and see the little thermos. We had a burrito.
Yeah, I remember those. Yeah, I used to get the really.
Well, did you trade with people?
Of course we did. They wanted the burrito.
Yeah, they don't get that at home.
They don't get that at home. And we wanted the Wonder Bread sandwiches because that's what we wanted.
You want peanut butter and jelly?
Yeah,
bologna.
We would get that. We would switch at lunchtime.
That's the way it went.
Oh, that's funny. I used to get the whole wheat sandwiches and they were all healthy. And I'd always trade with my friends so I could get the Wonder Bread sandwiches. And it was like,
And if you brought Oreos, you were in king.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
you ready for some callers here?
Well, let me finish
the story. Okay, keep going.
Okay, so then one day, Leo and I are going to school. We're walking to school, and it's a little weird. We were always late for school. Always. My dad never had to punch a clock, never had to work from a clock. He did his own thing all the time. In the morning, we would beg Dad, "Dad, please take us to school now. Mijito, I have to finish my coffee." We would just be late all the time. So one day, Leo and I were going to school, and there's a kid outside. It was cold, cold, cold. And he says, "How come you guys are late?" And I said, "Well, okay. Well, what do you want? Give me a burrito now, because if it waits till lunchtime, I won't get it."
He held you up at the school door.
Yeah. Huh? Uh-huh. So, and that's the way it was. And then the other story I want to tell about this time period, it's about maybe 1965, 66. There was a real pretty girl. Her name was Estella King. So she was, I think her dad was married to a Hispanic lady. The first name Estella, last name King. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Oh, you're working this up here, aren't
you?
Good Lord.
One day she comes up to me and she says, "Gabe, who do you think is prettier, me or Cynthia?" And I said, "You, of course." So then one day, summertime comes around. And here's another word that maybe your Anglo people want to know is geriondo.
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 Did I say something
good about it? A scruffy little kid with a runny nose.
Oh, dear.
Or, you know, maybe no shoes and a torn T-shirt, all dirty. That's the way Leo and I were and during the summertime. We didn't wear shoes. We would just run around all over the place, go into the bar, go to the store. So one day my mom says, "I want you to go to the Hormiguitas," which is a little store right in front of the church that I took the picture of, "and buy some lard." We used to cook everything with lard. So,
oh, yeah.
So I went to there. And I went into the bar through the back door, and I saw my dad. I said, "Hey, Dad, Mom wants me to." And I stopped in my tracks. There was Estella King. She was sitting in one of the booths, very pretty, all dressed up.
And she seen you?
Fluffy dress. No, she didn't see me. And she says, I run out of the bar. I said, "I can't do this. You know, I'd be too embarrassed to talk to Estella King." And my brother comes out, and he says, "This is Leo, who just called. Brother, Mr. King said he would give us $5 if we go sit with Estella."
Oh, dear.
$5? That's a lot of money.
Hey, yeah.
That would be like $30 maybe now in today's money or for little kids.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Brother, I can't do it. I can't go sit with Estella King." I ran out and I hid underneath some steps.
Oh.
My brother comes, follows me. "Brother, it's $5. I said, "Brother, I can't do it. You go. So he went. He sat with Estella King for maybe 20, 30 minutes. After a little bit, he comes out of the bar, smiling, walking up towards me, reaches into his pocket, pulls out a little roll, snaps it. It's a $5 bill.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And then he said, "None for you."
Oh, dear. Did you ever get to talk to this girl again?
You know, she was there in the fifth grade, but I never saw her again.
Ah, end of story. Okay,
end of story. Yeah.
Well, you guys did weird stuff, but that's how you lived.
Yeah, that was the
word. You were the little, whatever that word you said was out in the...
Geriondo.
That kid.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say your brother ended up marrying her later on.
No, that would have...
We need to get to some callers here. We got all kinds of people who have called in and want to do things here. Let's go one in the order we call is Mike. Mike, good morning. I know you said you put something on Facebook. We couldn't find it.
I'm still looking for it.
What is your question, Mike?
I'll just repeat it here.
Please.
So, Gabe, I want to ask, what can you tell us about a little area that was either adjacent to or maybe even within San Juan known as Barrio Sovaco?
Barrio Sovaco. You know, I have not heard that. But can you tell me about where, what streets?
Well, I heard that there was an old Coors brewery.
Yes,
that
okay.
was adjacent uh-huh. to. So it was... And it was just a stretch of adobe homes, maybe about 10 to 15 adobe homes. And I don't know how it acquired its name. I mean, Sovaco is not a...
It's not a nice term, know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Underarm.
It means armpit.
It means underarm? Oh, okay. Don't jeopardize our license here, okay?
Yeah.
It was Fred Morales, the local historian, who once told me a little bit about it, but I didn't get enough details. So I know that it was close to or in San Juan, but maybe just something to...
Well, you know, that old Cruz Brewery was right on Chelsea Street, and it was on the west side of Chelsea Street. And I know that place really well because because of the bar and because of the motel where my dad had his
Did it have a waterfall on the outside of it?
You know, I think it did.
Yeah, I remember that. We drove by that.
My brother and I would collect all the cans we could.
Oh, you turn them in for money.
And this is before this is just as they turned to aluminum. They used to be tin cans.
Uh-huh.
And they had a pop top that would detach.
But right.
Later on, like mid-60s, they came out with these aluminum cans. And Leo and I would collect these cans and Coke bottles, and we would go to that place, the Coors Brewery.
Like a fortune, yeah.
And we would sell it for money.
Yeah. Mike, do you remember this little cantina he's talking about? Mike?
Well, I hadn't. I actually, like you, I left El Paso at age 18, and now I'm back in Las Cruces. But I was just tuning in. I do a little bit of history myself, but that was just Sobaco was one thing. So maybe I could get your contact info, Gabe, and then we'll reconnect later and learn some more.
We'll put up how to find him. We'll put your email up on Facebook.
We'll do that. Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, okay, thanks a lot. Thank you a lot, right, Mike. Uh-huh. You take her easy. Got a lot of calls here. Ready for another one?
Sure.
Got Jorge on the phone here. Jorge, good morning.
Good morning, Gabe. I want to this opportunity to associate with you and your brother's memories with regards to San Juan neighborhood. My great-grandfather, he had, by way of his marriage to one of the Alverdes, had taken hold of Fox Plaza, which was the head of a large, huge parcel of land that once was held by them in the 1840s. And subsequently, in the 1920s, because it was so far outside its city limits, he relinquished taxes on it. And by way of that, the Fox family purchased it, is what my family has understood the situation out there to be.
Oh, so, very interesting, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And, I was there when Fox Plaza opened up on the first day.
When was that?
It was going to be the early 60s.
The early 60s,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Early 60s.
What was there before that?
Just cotton fields.
It was cotton field, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad that you're on the radio this morning. And thanks for sharing all that life that you have enjoyed here in El Paso.
Yeah, it's just... growing up here in El Paso, in that little neighborhood, it wasn't all cherries, of course.
Oh, I bet. Well, hey, thanks for the call, dude.
You're welcome.
You take
thanks,
Harry.
I can recall, I had a bunch of beautiful sisters. I still have them. Ninfa, Verna, Linda, and Lisa. And
you
Grace.
Probably had a busy house at that
point.
Yeah,
all these boys.
How many bathrooms in that house?
We had one bathroom upstairs.
How many people?
We had 9 of us.
And how many were girls?
10 of us with my mom and dad. 5 girls, 4 boys. 3 boys.
And one bathroom.
Yeah.
That thing never stopped, did it?
It didn't stop. That's right. We were always having to use the restroom. Anyway.
Well, with that many people, my goodness.
When Fox Plaza opened up, it was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was a big deal. And the whole family, we got in our 1957 Chevy pickup, and we drove down there. We parked. And they had fireworks displays, there was a lot of people.
Yeah.
It was like a new thing in El Paso. And not too much later after that, Bassett Center opened up. And Bassett Center had an open roof. It wasn't closed in like
that. Yeah,
they didn't do that back then, yeah.
It was all stores. The stores were just out in the cold. I remember that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Interesting stuff. Okay, that's a lot of history in El Paso. We got, let's take one more call before the break. This is Eugene. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, we were the only car club that came out of San Juan. We were all in 65 or so, and at that time, everybody was getting drafted and so forth, and we were called the Sidewinders.
Sidewinder Car Club.
Yes. I do remember this.
We had a snake that was coiled up on our black cotton jackets, and so a year later, everybody got drafted and went different parts into the military. But the interesting thing about this is that... nobody initiated Interstate 10. I was the first one to initiate with my soapbox derby, and one of the other guys in the eighth grade, when they finished building the Interstate 10, my dad took the two cars, the soapbox derby cars, up to Bassett, and we raced down Interstate 10 all the way to Copia.
Oh, wow.
And nobody, after maybe, I guess, maybe 2 or 3 weeks later, then they opened it up for traffic. But we were the first ones.
The first car on I-10. You're it. That's cool.
Do you have pictures of that?
Yeah, Eugene, you got any pictures of your stunt?
I do have a picture of my car, soapbox car. I used to live in Coquitlam, Alameda, where I used to sell newspapers for about 7 years as a young kid,
Oh, cool.
And so... I know the whole area because most of my friends were from San Juan. And
Juaneros.
San Juaneros, but we put our, back then it was the high-performance cars. Our car club was nothing but 55s and 56 Chevys.
Oh, that's great. Let me back up one thing. I want to ask you about when your dad let you off at the with the soapbox derby thing. Bassett Center is a bit up on the hill, right?
Yes, sir. And then it comes down. That's where it starts to sloping all the way down. And my good friend was a student council president of Jefferson when I was back in 63, I believe.
Okay, but you're telling me you made it from Bassett Center all the way to Copia just on that one run?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I can imagine.
Impressed. I am now very impressed with your car.
We were going about 45 miles an hour.
Heck, yeah. And I hope you had some brakes eventually. You might need them. So, hey,
yes,
well, Eugene.
Great time.
Thanks for sharing the story, dude.
Thank you.
All right. You take
care. Bye.
We got to take a break here. This is got.
I'd love to see a picture of that.
This is what
just screaming
I
down.
I figured would happen. You stir them up, and then we're going to get the call. Taking a break here. Gabe Duran is in the house. He grew up in the San Juan neighborhood. He's also an International Boundary and Water Commissioner consultant.
Yeah, consultant.
He's consulting
now. Which is where we found you once upon a time.
Yeah.
A very historic
dude. Wandering around consulting.
We're going to hear some more stories about Soapbox Derby on I-10. That's a new one for me. All right. Call us if you need to.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more.
What is certainty? Certainty is the passionate commitment to fulfill every promise. Certainty is 4imprint, a caring, trusted team of promotional product experts, minding every detail to ensure your logo will look perfect on everything from apparel, drinkware to trade show traffic stoppers and hot tech, all delivered on time, every time, with the promise of your satisfaction guaranteed. So, what does certainty bring? Promotional items exceeding expectations. A buzz of excitement for your team and your customers. A pep in your step, a fist pump, a whoop, a tingle, a grin, a laugh, or even one quiet word that no one will ever hear. Yes! Explore thousands of promotional products at 4imprint.com. That's the number 4imprint.com. 4imprint. For certain.
Most serial killers don't make any effort to involve the media or investigators. They almost want their crimes to go unnoticed. But the idea of committing a crime and then calling up the police and bragging about it, that's a whole nother level of terror.
Here we are, 50 years after the first Zodiac killing. Who doesn't want to know how it turns out?
From the creators of Atlanta Monster comes season 2. This is Monster, the Zodiac Killer. Listen and follow on the iHeartRadio app.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, a lot going on here. I want to let you know on the Facebook page, we've had 5,974 people look at our El Paso History Radio Show page since that was like Wednesday night I put that up there. And Gabe added a whole bunch more pictures that I stuck on there last night. But you can go see the Padre. You can go see the Cantina. You can see the St. John the Baptist Church. There it is. And that was a big deal, that church, huh?
Yeah.
It was. For the church to open up a small church there in San Juan was a big deal.
And it was well attended, I take it?
Still is.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you ever go back to the neighborhood and hang out?
Yes, I do. Oh, I have another wonderful story about that church if you all want to listen to it.
We got 1 minute and 20 seconds.
Well, my mom, very Catholic, very wonderful lady, of course, almost a saint. My dad, you know, almost there. My grandfather on the way in. So one day she tells my little brother, George, I hope he's listening. He says, there was another priest at this time. This is maybe 71, 72, around that time. She tells George, Father Condrado wants you to take off the platform that's stuck on the ceiling at the church above the altar.
The platform?
Yeah. Picture a platform, a big oval, maybe 8 inches high, and reverse that and hang it on the ceiling.
Why was it there?
Because it was an image of some kind of icon. I can't remember.
Picture or something?
Yeah, saint or something. Okay. Uh-huh. It was on top of the altar, on the ceiling, hanging
up. And you guys were in construction, so they figured you could handle it.
I have no idea. But
whatever.
My mom, she made my son, my brother, do this. So Father Condrado takes him around the back, and he says, you go through this little trap door, and you'll see that the platform is tied up to the joist of the church above the altar. So George says, no, I don't want to do this. So my mom says, you do it, mijito. So she makes him do it. So George climbs up the ladder, opens up the little trap door, and goes up above the altar. And he sees that there's these wires that are holding up the platform. And they're like old electrical wires. They're not wires that you want, good sturdy wires. So he says, okay, I'll unwind this. Unwind this one, and I'll unwind that one. And then all of a sudden, the wires, because of the weight, start unwinding themselves. And he can see down into the altar, there's a lady praying.
Oh, dear.
She's looking up and praying to God. And meanwhile, this platform is about to fall. So it does fall down, and it falls right on top of the altar, and it makes a huge dust mist. And the lady starts saying, gracias a Dios, me salvaste. She was thanking God for not dying because of my brother loosening the wires up there. And the father comes in and he says, muy bien hecho. Very well done.
He didn't kill anybody.
So anyway, I know you got to go to commercial.
Oh, yeah. Is there more story?
No, keep going.
Okay, now we're going to take a breath. Gabe Duran's in the house. We got him for another hour.
Yep.
We'll come back and quiz him some more, but we don't have to ask him any questions.
He just goes.
Oh, and the special at Pepe's.
Okay, today the special is Chile Rellenos. You get two of them.
There you go.
And we'll be giving that coupons away after the break for trivia.
See you next hour.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
Get the hottest flooring styles at incredible prices at Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale. All waterproof floors are on sale up to 50% off. Get a dollar off per square foot on select Bellawood hardwood floors. And take 20% off new AquaSeal water-resistant laminate. Plus, ask how you can get professional installation and special financing. Get to Lumber Liquidators' Spring Black Friday Flooring Sale today. Visit LumberLiquidators.com for a store near you.
NBC News Radio, I'm John Jeffries.